Good morning, LinkedIn friends, Value First Nation. Welcome to another episode of Value First AI Daily, your collaborative AI intelligence report. Happy Tuesday, August 26, 2025. How are we doing, Mr. Lefakis?
We're doing very, very, very well, Chris. Doing very well, you know, on the inside and from the work side, but on the outside, boy, it would seem as though the sky were falling, apparently, the AI sky, that is. Just seeing a lot more. I mean, it was already going like this. This is what was funny to me is last week, going into the end of last week, the AI sky was falling and everybody couldn't wait for the Jackson Hole speech for things to be negative. So that they could, I don't know, I guess cave the sky in, right? And then the Jackson Hole speech wasn't negative. It was actually positive. The entire market trended up. So then all throughout the weekend and all day yesterday, it's been nothing but sky's still falling. Sky's still falling, though. Even though everything's looking up, sky's still going to fall. And it's like, yeah, okay, look. In terms of there being like an AI bubble, everybody talks about an AI bubble. If we want to talk comparatively, okay. Now, what's terrible, the only thing that's terrible in this case is that there are a very significant amount of people tied into Palantir. That's, you know, that is what it is. The whole Palantir situation, right? That's really what all of this is based on. The entire premise of the sky is falling on the AI marketplace is based on Palantir. It's not based on any other stock. I don't hear anybody else's name get brought up. There's no other example that anybody else points to. Why Palantir and nobody else? They're the first government contractor. That's why. And this game is all about if you ain't first, you're last. And the people who knew that jumped on that train real fast, real early in the game. And we could care less what it tanks to the point where I think estimates say like it's potentially like if the entire floor were to fall out on the whole market, right? I think Palantir's trading at like 140 or something like that. If it were to drop down to like 50, I'd still sleep extremely well at night, right? And that's really nobody else's fault except for all the people who tried to tank it in the first place so that they could buy in late. And that I really feel that's almost what's happening again now, except now it's like, I don't know, newer money who, or even, maybe it's like even older money that tried to hold out thinking that like it was all going to be a scam and it's not. So now
all
they want to get
it. Now.
Yeah.
It's all the money. Like, this is what they do. Like, I'm listening to The Hard Thing About Hard Things right now for the first time from Ben Horowitz.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just sharing his story as like a, you know, a tech entrepreneur and a VC, you know, backer, like he's Andreessen Horowitz guy, one half of that. It's amazing how much the news narrative or people saying things out loud or leaking things can move the market.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So like if you're in a certain spot and enough people listen to you and then enough people act on that advice, you literally can make stocks go up or down. And that's a broken system. Like, it's not the way it was. I mean, it probably was intended. Like, at some point, somebody was like, this is how it's going to work. And just AI is not, there won't be any gray area at some point. Obviously, that strikes at the heart of the power structure. And this is another area of control where, you know, we're definitely in the transition here,
yep.
of like moving from kind of laughing at it or not worried about it to like fearing it and attacking it in various ways. And it's just, I appreciate as you're messaging this morning, like when Sam, I'm just going to assume like, since he's brilliant and like, he thinks like GPT should be CEO, like that most of his words are chosen fairly intentionally. And like the worst thing you can do is pretend that other people aren't saying like it's a bubble.
Right.
So it's just like, sure. Like we could be.
Yeah.
You know, and then that one little sentence like gets taken out of context right before he says like, or it could be the most amazing like technological advancement in human history. And there's a lot of good signs that point to this, like not necessarily like being a bubble.
So. Yeah. I mean, that's what killed me about that whole quote was just the fact that it's like, okay, it was a two-parter. It wasn't like he only said like, yeah, no, it's definitely a bubble. It's like he said there's a lot of excitement around it. So it's probably a little bit overhyped. So, but there's a lot of excitement around what's going on in the field too. And there's a lot of advancement going on. So again, like if there's, you know, people were talking, let's put it this way. People were talking hype back in 23. People were talking hype in 24. People are still talking hype in 25. Okay. If it's 2.5 years in, how could it still be hype? Just use your heads on this one. That's how easy it is. Just use your heads. If it was still hype, A, why would so many companies be buying into it so heavily? B, why would financial institutions be investing into it hand over fist? And then C, how could hype possibly last 2.5 years in corporate America, in corporate capitalist America? It's not possible. It just isn't. People are trying to compare it to the dot-com bubble. When it comes to the dot-com bubble, why is this different? This is different because you actually have to have a company. You can't, like, the reason these companies are becoming so wealthy and so worthwhile to invest is because they're becoming worthwhile before they even hit the market. Like, the majority of big names I wish I could put money down on aren't even publicly listed yet. And when they do get publicly listed, their shares are going to be at least, I don't know, $30, $40, $50 minimum, like, per share. And we're talking about, you know, companies like Midjourney, Suno, Gamma, like a lot of companies that people use right now, AI wise, but just aren't publicly listed yet. And they're still privately taking in like $10 million, $50 million, $100 million, right? Even Anthropic closing another series round with billions of dollars, right? Both them and OpenAI, I think, are in the $100 billion bracket now in terms of their market cap. So it's not an unfounded thing where the investment's going in. Like, you didn't see dot-coms get series of funding. It was just the one and done. These guys are getting like five, six. I've never seen so many companies go so far in funding rounds without going public. And it's like in every single case, it's just a matter of like, yeah, everybody's making so much money not going public that why would you?
Yeah.
Right. So,
and you know, less control for the market, right? And also like less options. Like, yep. There's, and it makes sense. There's like, it's either invest in AI or invest in the infrastructure that supports AI.
Yep. Like,
that's basically your options now. And like, sorry, not sorry. Like,
yeah. So I don't know how like that becomes, I don't know, that just seems to be the talk of the town this week. And yeah, I don't want to, it's just Chicken Little to me. It really is. The market has been trying, like, you know, we talked about this on Sunday. The market has been trying to manipulate, Wall Street's been trying to manipulate this since the beginning. Okay. I have been watching old systems attempt to control this dragon since it was unleashed. And every single time that they're not able to, all I see is kicking and screaming. And this is the latest kicking and screaming to me. They tried tanking it early on. They tried calling it a farce back in 24, 23, I think. Back in early 24 last year, it didn't work. They tried calling it a farce late last year, it didn't work. Now they're trying to do it again. Still not working. They tried doing it
gonna hit the early wall.
This year. Right.
Gonna hit the wall. GPT-5 is not even better.
Not even that good. It's not even that good. All of a sudden, a week later, everybody, holy crap, this thing is amazing. It's so much better. Right? All they did was tweak the personality so that it was a little bit more like 4 and then like allow people access to 4. And now everybody, yep, we're all back on track. Like everything's fine. Don't understand what the, you know, it's.
There's no, like, this is the lack of knowledge gap that's coming in terms of. They needed to put it out there. They got feedback immediately and then were able to move immediately because that's the speed of AI. And like, whether it's, you know, somebody just saying something out loud about like, oh, maybe Google's going to buy HubSpot and then HubSpot stock goes up. Like the time to profit off of that, like narrative, whether it's true or not, is going to keep being reduced. And I love that clip that you shared about, you know, the XL agents and what the money, what, like, will we all just be basing like investments on one AI model? And it's like, yeah,
eventually, right? Like,
and this whole concept of like they went into humans in the loop and like, well, you still got to be able to use your gut reaction to say like this, like, and you're going to do a better job than AI actually analyzing all like behavioral, sentiment, qualitative, quantitative data, unstructured, structured, all of it. There's no way. Like, it's straight gambling against like the worst house, like the worst house odds ever.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is all like trying to fit this new paradigm into the old way. With like that story about XL agents, like should XL be the infrastructure,
right,
that we work from? You know, it's just, I mean, again, it's old way trying to fit in the new paradigm into the old way.
And it actually
works.
It reminds me, I think the best example I've got is Trouble with a Curve. That one scene where they're all sitting in the meeting room, right, trying to pick players for the next season. And all these guys are talking about like, yeah, well, you know, he looks really good. He looks real good up on the mound, though. If you see him, he looks real good. And he's like, yeah, but, you know, how does he pitch? You're like, you know, I mean, look, he's having trouble, but we can work with him. Right. And then they go to the other dude and they're like, yeah, but, you know, who's the guy that you're looking at? You know, pulls up some dude's name. Oh, man, that guy sucks. No, that guy, he sucks so bad. And he's like, yeah, but what's the average in terms of him getting on base versus the other dude? He's like 2-1. Like, all right, well, we're going for the other dude then, and he's half the price, right? And so, like, the entire game of baseball changed because they stopped going by gut feeling, and they started playing by the numbers.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and it's like if you want to think about it, I don't know for sure, But I'm willing to bet that all sports have become more competitive and almost like more evenly competitive, as uneven as they may seem today. Well, I should say, leading up to about the mid-90s, maybe to the early 2000s, sports were like seriously competitive across all teams pretty much, right? Once money started coming into it, then the teams became imbalanced again because you could just buy your wins. But leading up to it, again, it's just a matter of like having the right numbers on the right team at that point. It wasn't even a matter of like, oh, I got to have, like, you know, we got to have hundreds and tens of hundreds of millions of dollars in order to be a good team. That's the way it is with AI. Once it's deployed throughout your organization, everybody becomes the same skill level of player. So now your entire team is capable of running at the same skill level, which is going to be whatever the skill level of the model is, combined with your adoption rate, combined with your capability of rolling out a good training system that like teaches people how to maximize the capability of what they're using. You know, I've heard more and more people talk about it in Iron Man terms. I've heard that like two or three times now in the last couple weeks. Not entirely sure why it goes that route without like just goes straight there without Jarvis. I'm not sure, but I'm still in the Jarvis phase myself until I see a suit. Yeah. Like
the Iron Man suit part is easy. Most people know it's something added, like bionic, not even Bionic Man, but like some additive, you know, addition like to yourself that enables superhuman things.
I mean, yeah, I can get that.
Yeah. I mean, Jarvis, I figure, you know, the tech behind it.
I was gonna say, like, you couldn't really have the suit without Jarvis helping you get there, right? So like I see, that's how I see it, right? Like I see all of us being Tony Starks, right? And the Iron Man suit just being the fruit of the labor. But I see us all being Tony Starks working with a Jarvis or a Friday, putting stuff together. Like if you think about it from that angle, like, yeah, okay. Like actually that's the best damn person. Like that's so, I'm so glad you brought that up. Tony, like, so what happens with me almost on a daily basis, I'm surfing around the internet, whatever is going on. I'm seeing, you know, stuff on social. Maybe I see something and I'm like, oh man, you know, it'd be cool is if I built this application that did this thing that was kind of like that and did it specifically for me. Like the other day I got so pissed off at Replit and some other services that I just started building my own autocoder. And it's going really well. And it's really good because I could use my own model behind it, whichever one I want to, and switch between it. And the costs are stupid, stupid cheap because I don't have a middleman. And it turns out that turns out all of the stuff that's behind an autocoder is just as easy to build, right? And that was just like me basically stumbling along and stumbling through. And then all of a sudden I'm going to build this cool thing. Tony goes, wasn't thinking about suits. Right. Goes, ends up in this horrible situation. Right. But then has to like put a suit together, puts this very, very rudimentary thing together. But then as soon as he gets home, fires up his AI and within whatever 48 hours, he's got perfect, you know, amazing looking suit put together. Cause it's him by himself. He did. He put a suit together, but man, big, clunky piece of shit thing could barely do much of anything, was about to get gunned down by 50mm chain guns, right? Like, it was great. Yeah, definitely saved his ass for sure, but like, not sustainable, right? As we saw in the end with Obadiah's model, right? Like, just a little bit too overboard with that shit. So yeah, you see, you know, that partnership being able to yield just like amazing things, right?
Yeah. And it's, I was talking with the HubSpot product manager and product marketing manager yesterday. And this is why, like, the save time benefit is just the absolute wrong way to look at this, right? Like, in that situation, Or I think it's always a combination of pain, like getting high enough, plus activation, right? And the accessibility of AI allows us to activate much easier because we know it's not as hard to start up. There's also, you can be much more optimistic about actually finishing the thing because you don't have to do it all yourself. And that burden alone will stop people, right? Like if Tony didn't have the suit or didn't have the AI to go back to, he might not make the first suit, right? It likely wouldn't. And so I was talking through like the repurposing of content, and until HubSpot significantly lowered my activation energy for podcasts getting published and videos getting edited with their recent tool set, the repurposing was not happening at all. And I made a choice to focus on long form content instead of less long form content and clipping and distribution and all that stuff, because that would have eaten into like the knowledge sharing piece, right? Now that it's so easy to do that, like it's not about saving time at all. Like I can create more because it doesn't cost as much time, but it's stuff I've never created before. So the concept of save time is not real, right? Right. It's realized opportunity, realized value, like value creation at scale is what's happening. And when you can switch your mindset around that, it's so powerful, right? And I'm starting to hear that more and more every day. And I think this is something that it's hard to think about from a consultant perspective and how you make money right now. In terms of helping people with technology, there is this gap between, yeah, I know I can't do it myself, so I'm willing to like pay somebody else to do it. But there's this game to play in terms of how long it should or shouldn't take, right? And how much it should or shouldn't cost related to that time and effort. And eventually, like unless you're enabling the person to do it themselves with AI, you're always going to have this dissonance between the space where it's, can I do this myself? Should I do this myself? Right? That's never been easier to answer the question yes, right? And then go try it, right? And it's the go try it part. Like autocoder for you is the latest thing. It's like, all right, I'm fed up enough. Like I'm interested right now. Let's give it a whirl. Oh, this is easy. Like let's keep going. Right. And everybody already can do that. It's just, they don't know it. And the pain of what like good is now, right, is not great enough. So it's,
It's to me, it's a shame, really, like watching so many people. And if you watch this like a while back, I used to use this phrase where to me, everybody was so asleep that it was like Ghostbusters 2, where the river of slime is just like barreling through the city and filling the city whole, and everybody is just, nothing's happening. It's everyday life, whatever, right? And then all of a sudden the city's up in arms because, ghost stuff everywhere, right? And it's kind of like that for me now, right? Like that's why, I shared this clip with Chris this morning of like these financial analysts talking about Excel having their, basically it was a third party program that was AI driven that offered Excel agents, right? And the guy basically came to this realization of like, well, I mean, if everybody's got it, then how does anybody, then everybody's going to be, he said it and then they went right past it, almost as if it was like the worst thing in the world that you could possibly say, equilibrium, right? And yeah. He, for a split second, he was like, well, everybody's going to be on the same level. And they said it like it was a problem, right? Like that's where I just laughed so hard. I'm like, wow, they finally got it. Somebody finally woke up to the news that, hey, pretty soon we're all going to be on the same level financially. We're all going to be on the same level in terms of knowledge gap. We're all going to be. And then they went on this, the same guy, right? Went on towards the end of the clip to say one of the worst things I've heard so far, which is, yeah, but I think those of us who don't use AI, we're going to end up being smarter in the long run.
Wow. I didn't get that far.
Yeah. I'm glad you didn't, man. Cause like, honestly, it was real hard to listen to this. Yeah. Now I'm sure some of you out there will say, well, you know, there was that MIT study. Yeah. Well, there was an MIT study recently too. So kind of taking what they do with a grain of salt. However, there have been Harvard and Stanford studies that also point to the same thing, where there is cognitive decline in some people that use AI. Balance.
Yeah.
There's balance in the universe. If there are going to be people who are going to get insanely smart from this, there are going to be people who get insanely dumb as a result as well. That's just the way it works, right?
But unless AI access is removed.
Right.
They will still be smarter than people that are not using AI.
Right.
Because they're using AI and AI is smart.
And eventually it's going to eclipse. And that's okay too. In the beginning, AI was slightly worse than doctors. And then doctors with AI were better. And then doctors by themselves were like just under the doctor with AI, right? So about 6 months later, it was doctor was worse, doctor with AI was better, or no, doctor was worse, AI was better, and then doctor with AI was the best. And today, it is doctor's the worst by far, doctor with AI is about as good as it's going to get, and then AI is the best you can get.
Yeah.
So in the span of like a year and a half, doctors with regards to diagnosis have become meaningless. Just with diagnosis, like pretty soon it'll be a lot more stuff, but is that the worst thing in the world, right? There's plenty of people who are like, oh, I'd rather get my advice from a human doctor or whatever. That's the way it's going to be. Again, balance. There's going to be that kind of stuff.
They like our trial and error.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be like. System. It reminds me of Fallout, right? Dude loses his leg. She comes out with this thing like, ah, yeah, just put this on there. Okay.
I mean, if it helps, just think about it before digital was available. Like even right now, like if we're both in the store and we see a product that are interested.
Oh, I just did this.
My phone. You don't. Who has access to more information and knowledge? The person with the phone, like, no matter what.
And here's what's crazy is, so like, you want to, like, some people ask me like, well, why do you use so many different platforms and like, why Perplexity versus, you know, ChatGPT? Like they both have search. Again, like different tools in the toolbox for a reason, right? GPT is a great Swiss Army knife and it's amazing at doing health diagnosis and it's amazing at doing strategy and planning. Not so much when it comes to like with shopping, I guess if you wanted to do generic shopping and like ideation for shopping, sure. If you actually wanted to buy stuff, Perplexity. How do I know this? I don't know on average. I'm not saying anything for sure, but I know it because when I was looking for my new computer, I was using the traditional methods of just looking stuff up, doing the comparisons, going by the charts and pretty not necessarily ignoring AI. I was also using GPT and stuff, but it was like in conjunction, basically. I went through like half a day and still just couldn't find what I was looking for. What I wanted was too expensive, this, that, and the other. I used Perplexity and found it in 5 minutes, like 5 or 10 minutes. ordered it, done deal. Told my wife, I was like, yeah, if you're ever looking for something, like shopping for something, definitely like whip out Perplexity. It's the best thing ever. She's looking for like a new cooker. This would normally, the one that she had bought previously to this one, probably took, you know, all the comparisons and the reviews and stuff. You know, this one, 2 minutes. 2 minutes, and she found the one that she wanted, right? I'm at the store the other day. I'm looking for weed cutter wire. There's like 30 different weed cutter wires. And they all have different, you know, components to them. Some have titanium stuff. Some have metal. Some have, you know, hard plastic, whatever. Just whip out Perplexity. Hey, man, here's a pick of all the weed cutter wires that are here. Which one's the best? Which one's the most highly rated? Switch to social media specifically so that I can hear from the people which one is the best. So I'm not looking at website generic.
Wow. Posts, you know? You can do that now?
Yeah. Yeah, you can specifically look at social. You can specifically look at financial, specifically look at academic sources, or specifically look at web sources. Or you can combine. So you can do academic plus financial or whatever. But yeah, people talking about like clay, right? Oh, go to market, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm telling you, it's a real cheap. I'm not trying to talk trash. It's an awesome put together platform. It's a great like all in one hand. It's like a Canva of what I do on a daily, because you can definitely do what clay does with other tools without that price tag. It's just that you'd have to use 2-3 tools in order to do it. So,
yep. Well, we'll continue the conversation tomorrow, as always. Be sure to join us for the Value First Data Summit on August 28th. Thursday. Got a bunch of like 8 round tables that are really shaping up really well. I'm so happy with the way the agendas come together. So join us on Thursday. Until then, though, we'll be back tomorrow with another episode of Value First AI Daily. Thanks, Nico.
Thanks, Chris. See you guys.